speakers to use a cursor to point anything in their slides and repeat questions, because whatever is spoken here will be recorded. Nothing from the backside will be recorded. So let's go ahead and start. Our first presenter is Marty Williams. Welcome.
Okay, well, I'm not going to waste any time since I got 15 minutes starting now, right? I would like to thank my son, Garrett, for joining on this trip, especially this meeting, my talk here. So thanks for everybody else for showing up at 8 a.m. as well. I want to talk a little quick story about processing sweet corn. This is a crop that's grown under contract between a grower and a vegetable processor. And there's two important measures of yield for this crop. Ear mass, that's basically tons of ears per acre, is what the grower is compensated for growing this crop. The processor buys that, but the processor actually isn't making any money on ear mass, but actually on what I call case production. That's cases of corn per acre, cases of a product. And almost, you know, vast majority of it is some type of cut kernel, either canned or frozen. It's also important to point out that it's a vegetable processor that chooses cultivars and several other things about agronomic practices. I feel like I'm leaning way over to get into this mic. Can you hear me good if I stand up straight? All right, good. Yield stability is a cultivar's performance over a range of different environments. And if you can envision different environments being from low yielding to high yielding, and how the average cultivar actually having the average response across this range of environments. How does this calculate if you have a number of different yield trials, taking the average yield of each trial, that becomes the environmental index. And then you can plot other cultivars against that environmental index. Here's a case where we actually have a cultivar with below average stability. It's actually influenced more by the environment than the average cultivar. Likewise, we can have something that has above average stability. It's less sensitive to environmental variation. In this case, I held mean yield constant for all these hybrids, so we're just looking at yield stability. And this is easily interpreted by looking at slopes, where the average stability has a slope of 1, below average has a slope greater than 1, and above average stability has a slope less than 1. Now, there's another important consideration here, is not just yield stability, but mean yield. And here we have the same setup as before, and in this case I'll hold stability constant, but look at different mean yields, where we have both below average yield and above average yield. Now, probably in most, there's been plenty of evidence in other crops that there's a combination of traits here, both yield stability and mean yield, where we can have, in this case, a cultivar with below average stability and below average yield. So not only is it poor yielding, but it really falls apart under these lower yielding environments. Kind of at the other extreme is something that has above average stability and above average yield, which is probably what most of the crop breeders, at least for agronomic crops, are aiming for, this ideal hybrid, having both above average stability and above average yield. Are these two traits linked? It varies a little bit in the literature. We see that for wheat and cowpea, there's evidence that they're negatively linked. Field corn, perhaps the best example for sweet corn, we have some mixed results with Tolinar and Lee finding evidence of a positive relationship between these two traits. As it gets to sweet corn, we actually don't know. As far as I can find in the literature, there's never been a yield stability analysis for sweet corn. Really what I want to get to, though, is how this impacts hybrid adoption, if stability and yield impact hybrid adoption. And you can imagine how a processor chooses a hybrid is going to be based on a number of different traits, agronomic traits such as disease resistance, processing traits, whether the ear holds up well in the processing, going through the processing plant, product quality, is it something the consumer wants to eat? Most evidence indicates that by the time a processing hybrid is commercially available, most of these boxes up here have been ticked. And what we have seen in the literature are quite significant differences in yield potential, especially across different environments, which suggest there are maybe some differences among yield stability among these processing hybrids. No one's ever looked at it yet. So the premise of this work is if yield and yield stability influence choice of hybrid, then differences amongst hybrid for these traits will relate to their adoption. Think analogous to an automotive example. If fuel economy in cars is important to the American consumer, then the American consumer would be buying more fuel-efficient cars. That's what I was interested in as it related to this particular objective, to determine the pattern of hybrid adoption and use of processing sweet corn in relation to yield and stability. And give you a little bit of an illustration of what I mean here. This work related to conducting a yield stability analysis on widely available commercial processing hybrids, also having data on what hybrids are being grown on the landscape in North America for processing sweet corn, and seeing if there was any relationship there. Okay, so this experimental approach, actually before I go to that, let me back up one. You'll see from this objective that you don't need to know where the data came from, because to do this work I had to get data from a vegetable processor. And also to address objective, we don't need to talk about individual hybrids. We're interested in traits, yield stability and mean yield. So there's no need to talk about individual hybrids, which is good because the experimental approach I took involved a collaboration with a vegetable processor that I cannot divulge that processor's name or any of the cultivars that were used in this study. That's their secret sauce, and they don't want to share that. But they're willing to share this work share the data to address this particular objective. So there's two data sets. One of them was data from some hybrid trials that they conducted at two locations in the upper Midwest and the Pacific Northwest from a period of 2005 to 2015, a total of 86 trials. And what I did was I sorted and looked at the 12 most widely tested hybrids, because those were well represented in this production area. And I did stability analysis, much as I showed before with the regression analysis, where the average cultivar has a slope of 1 and below average stability, above, you know, how that slope changes. And I did it for both ear mass and case production. In interest of brevity, I'll focus on the results for case production. And that's really what's, it's the processors that make decisions, so that's probably the data set that's most appropriate here anyway. Then the other data set was a completely different data set, and this was just their production records. And the states in green show you the states where this company grows processing sweet corn. And we had a period from 1995 to 2015, a total of nearly 15,000 fields. So very good representation of what's being used on the landscape over this 21-year period in North America. And those 12 hybrids, I just happened, this is kind of sneaking into the results here. Those 12 hybrids represented over 77% of the production over this 21-year period. So you see we've got a really good, got some great data here that helps us address this objective. And all the research in here is backed up with statistics, albeit this is a little bit novel research. I haven't seen anybody do this, but it's all based on statistics, and I'll show you how I go through testing some hypotheses shortly. Okay, so this will be impossible to read in the back. But this is for case production. Here are results. We've got 12 different relations. These are the 12 different hybrids. On the x-axis is our environmental index. On our y-axis is case production. And the average hybrid is a small dashed line you can't see unless you're sitting on the first three rows. And then what we have plotted are the stability parameters with the 95% confidence intervals. And I just want to summarize this, so hopefully you can see this in back. I don't know. But there's a lot of seats up front here if anybody wants to move up. So what I have reported is yield and stability for each of these cultivars. They're black if they're average yield, average stability. They're green if they're above average yield or stability. And they're red if it's below average yield or stability. You see there's no red up here. So none of these 12 most tested cultivars were below average for yield and stability. And I think that says a lot right there. Okay, So then I summarize it here in a contingency table where we have, get my mouse working, there it is. So case production along here, stability along here, and we see that, okay, none of them were below average for case production or stability. And we'll see these 10 cultivars that were average for both traits, and then we had one cultivar that was above average for stability, one that was above average for yield. So then what I did, here's where I relate this to adoption. For those, each of those cultivars, okay, 10 minutes, good, because I'll probably go 14 and a half, so think of your questions for afterwards too. What we'll have is the sum of all the hectares that those cultivars accounted for in each of these classes. So you'll see that those 10 cultivars here accounted for 42% of the hectares over this 21-year period. This one cultivar here that was average stability but above average case production accounted for 4.2% of the hectares. So you might think, oh, wow, so each cultivar accounts for about 4% of what this processor is using. Well, check this out, though. This one cultivar that was above average stability accounted for 31.2% of the production area over this time period. So disproportionately more hectares than any other cultivar. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this bottom matrix here, contingency table, and I'm going to transfer it to the next page, and I'm going to test some hypotheses. I just want to show you how I tested these hypotheses. And the first hypothesis was that adoption of hybrids with below average yield or stability will be less than other hybrids. Okay, what this means is, so what I'm looking at is, those that are below average for yield or stability will be less hectares than all the other phenotypes. So what we have, so what we do is just sum up all the hectares here. Are they greater than the hectares here? You don't even need stats to see that hypothesis is true. The next hypothesis, the most widely used hybrids will show above average yield or stability. So how am I testing this? So we're looking at above average yield or stability, either one, the sum of those, is that greater than all other hybrids? In this case, well, the hypothesis proved false. It's worth noting that we only had 2 of 12 cultivars that were fit either of those criteria, being above average yield or stability. The third hypothesis was that above average stability is a more important trait in a hybrid than above average yield. In this case, we're testing this above average stability versus above average yield. In this case, the hypothesis proved true. Okay. So those are three of the hypotheses. I got to get to conclusions here, so I don't have a lot of time. What we saw from this work is that processors are not using hybrids that yield below average, and that makes a lot of sense. You know, there's no benefit, so they're finding cultivars that are at least perform like the average hybrid, if not better. Most adopted hybrids have average case production and average stability. Actually, we didn't see any cultivars that had that combination of both above average yield and above average stability. It's not there. The one exception to adoption was that the one hybrid that had above average stability was disproportionately adopted greater than any other hybrid. And stable case production across environments is a more important trait than a hybrid with record yields under favorable conditions. This gets to the analogy that Tolnar and Lee had on field corn, was that the workhorse versus racehorse. The workhorse is the cultivar that does well, particularly when conditions get rough, whereas a racehorse may do great, but only under the best conditions. And it makes a lot of sense that the vegetable processing industry, particularly for sweet corn, which is grown under a lot of it in the Midwest under some pretty extreme kind of environments, that you have cultivars that would perform consistently no matter what the kind of year or season was produced, because they have a processing plant that has a fixed ability to process the product. So they can't have a huge amount any one day, and they also are kind of expensive to set idle if it's a poor yielding year. All right, thank you.